new Libyan government gets legitimacy and money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Russia said today it will officially recognize Libya's interim government. Also today, there's a conference going on in Paris that seeks to bolster political and financial support for the emerging government. The BBC's Jonathan Marcus is with us now from Paris and has the latest on that. Hi, Jonathan.
Yes, hi.
After the conference is concluded, how much cash and other aid could Libya get from the rest of the world?
It's not so much about raising money. What's happening at the moment is small amounts of frozen Libyan funds are being released by individual governments making applications to a UN committee. I think that's important, not least to begin to pay salaries of public service workers. To get all of the funds released, we're going to need a full-scale UN Security Council resolution. There are still some governments, not least the South Africans, who are a little bit sceptical about accepting that the Gaddafi regime is now a thing of the past.
I know reconstruction depends almost as much on rebuilding the oil industry, right? I mean, what's happening on that front in Libya?
Getting the oil industry back up and running is absolutely crucial. It depends to a large extent on foreign expertise. So clearly, the security situation is an important factor there. But I think this is one of the key differences between Libya and Iraq and Afghanistan. There isn't the level of destruction in Libya. This is not a country that is a potential basket case. It's a country that can pay to rebuild. Clearly, though, the crucial thing in the first instance is to end the fighting and really to run down the Gaddafi regime so that there is a definitive end to this conflict and that security can be reestablished.
The BBC's Jonathan Marcus in Paris. Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you.
In China, a prominent environmental group is accusing suppliers for computer giant Apple of widespread pollution. It's calling on Apple to come out and identify which companies and factories help build its products. But as Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, Apple is not saying much.
In a video released with the report, a sad violin plays behind an old man navigating a waterway of polluted, milky white water. According to the report, the water he's paddling through is discharged from a factory along the Yangtze River that makes circuit boards for Apple. The man says, this generation drinks polluted water, the next one will drink poisoned water. Ma Jun, the report's author, says samples of the water found the concentration of the heavy metal nickel to be 11 times the amount allowed by Chinese law.
You know, Apple is taking advantage of the loopholes in the management system of China, and they collaborate with all these bad polluters at the expenses of the environment and local public health.
In an email to Ma's group, Apple said several of the companies listed in the report were not Apple suppliers, but it wouldn't specify which ones. As a rule, Apple doesn't identify its suppliers. Ma's group is trying to change that. Apple did offer to hold a conference call with the group to discuss the report. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are mostly lower at the moment, but Asian markets rose today. In about an hour and a half, we're going to get the latest on first-time weekly jobless claims ahead of tomorrow's all-important August employment report. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 53 points, fourth day in a row for an upswing on the Dow. It closed at 11,613. For the volatile month of August, the Dow lost about 4.5%, and all three major markets had their worst month in 10 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Spanish lawmakers vote tomorrow on a new constitutional amendment that would force the country to reduce its deficit and debt. But Christopher Worth reports this morning, controlling spending in Spain will depend on what happens at the local level in the country's 17 political regions.
Spain's regions are a bit like states in the U.S. They draft their own budgets and make their own spending decisions. But when they spend too much, Spain's national government ends up footing the bill. Gonzalo Gómez Bengoechea is an economist at IESE Business School in Madrid.
And this is one of the biggest problems that we have in Spain, because there is actually no control over that part of the expenditure.
Take this gleaming new airport outside the small city of Ciudad Real in the hot, arid region of Castilla-La Mancha. It's one of Spain's several so-called ghost airports, built at a cost of over $1.5 billion. The hope was it would become a bustling travel hub serving Madrid, 140 miles away. Today, I walk through an empty terminal.
So I'm looking at the arrivals board here, and it's not even turned on. It's completely dead here.
Just a couple of flights go in and out of Ciudad Real each week. Even those flights are due to end in October. And the only thing keeping the project afloat is money from local taxpayers like Daniel Guzman.
I'm disappointed because they've taken our money and spent it on an airport for a city of just 70,000 people. There was no need for such a big airport.
Regional governments across Spain have racked up over $165 billion in debt. Economist Gomez Bengoechea.
The government may ask them to reduce the spending, but they can't force them to reduce the spending.
Ratings agency Moody's has threatened a downgrade over Spain's regional deficit problem. Edward Hugh, an economist based in Barcelona, says regional spending will derail Spain's plan to drastically reduce its national deficit.
And the problem really is that the deficit was the only thing in the eyes of investors that the Spanish government had to put on the table to show we are a serious country.
That is, serious about not defaulting on its debts and avoiding a bailout from its European neighbors. In Spain, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, you'd think Apple employees would have learned to just leave the iPhone prototype at the office. Last year, a group of workers reportedly went out to a Silicon Valley bar and left a prototype iPhone 4 behind. Well, CNET reports there was a frantic effort just a month ago to find a special iPhone 5 that was left in a San Francisco tequila lounge. The owner of the lounge says he remembers a man calling repeatedly about leaving his phone there, and he tells CNET, quote, "I guess I have to make my drinks a little less strong." I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Green jobs and alternative energy are hot investments. Climate change? Not really.
Climate adaptation is looking out 25, 50 years into the future. It's just not seen as a high priority in a lot of places.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Coastal cities investing in climate change now or paying later. We'll have the day's business news as well and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.